said, you really don't have to speak. He said, of course I do. They've been here in the cold in late October, and did about 10 minutes, and we have the tape of what he said. It's you know, would you be ready to spend 5, 10, 15 years of your life in Goner? And it, you know, he hadn't shaped it into anything, but he said, you know, your willingness to go and serve in other countries, et cetera, depends our future, or something like that. And it got no attention to speak of, nothing significant. And fortunately, the way I heard about it was a member of our civil rights section of the campaign had a daughter at Michigan, and Michigan students the next day called Michigan Students for World Responsibility, took around a scroll, or put together a scroll, took around a petition saying, go for it. If you do, we want to go. I don't have the exact wording now. It was beautiful, powerful wording saying, if you form that organization, that core for overseas work, we'll go. And they said, can you arrange for the students to give the scroll? 1,000 students signed it. To the candidate, Senator Kennedy. And when we called Senator Kennedy's traveling group, and they told Kennedy that there are 1,000 students signed the scroll and they want to give the scroll to you. And he, of course, said, yes, we'll meet on a corner at an airport in Ohio 10 days from then. And he turned and he said, I want to make a major speech on this. This may really click. And he made the Cow Palace speech where he spelled it out. And without that student, Sergeant Shriver, the real builder of the Peace Corps, has time and again said, without the reaction from the students of Michigan, probably would never have been a Peace Corps. It would have, too many other crises were coming up, the Bay of Pigs and meeting Khrushchev, and it wasn't, none of the power people in the Kennedy entourage, you know, it was out on the periphery as a nice thing. So you're the generation that may bring it to the center of public action. And then we'll have a lot of public happiness, I hope. Meaning, you can have public unhappiness when you lose opportunities, too, in public life or voting.
One of the major arguments I've heard or discussions around the Peace Corps is this issue of having some sort of cultural imposition upon another place, or thinking that people from one place know what's best for people from another place. And so I'm wondering how you think it's best to engage in service without imposing and without bringing an imperialist connotation to the situation.
Well, first note that if you did the Global Fellowship and you were a fellow with a non-government organization that those countries have wanted and welcomed, they're much more grounded than a new government put together program, you might hope. But the Peace Corps, from the very beginning, every word Sergeant Shriver said to Congress and in all of the training, stressed that we only go where we're asked by the country. We only go to do things that the government of that country says are a priority. In Ethiopia, where David Schimmel was a staff member, and I was head of representative for Africa for 2 years, living in Ethiopia and directing that program. We brought 300 Peace Corps teachers into Ethiopia because Haile Selassie had written the president saying, we would like 500 Peace Corps teachers who will double the number of secondary school teachers in our country, and we've just created a new university, and the emperor gave his main palace to it, and we don't have enough secondary students graduating to go to the university. And I was sent to Ethiopia along with the Asalan and Togo in late 61 or early 62 on leave from the White House for that assignment to see what I thought of and recommended about the Peace Corps in Ethiopia. First place, I fell in love with Ethiopia. The adventure of it was just incredibly enticing to me. But they badly, urgently needed it. And in fact, we couldn't give 500. They got to 500, but we provided 300 Peace Corps volunteers who doubled the number of college graduate secondary teachers in Ethiopia. They wanted it badly. Now, one of the things Shriver did was to say, contrary to local customs, we are going to send Peace Corps volunteers who are women to every place we can. I mean, not discriminating in favor, but not discriminating against. And in Ethiopia, about 30 or 40% were women then. Now it's 50% or maybe even getting a little higher of women. But in Dessie, Ethiopia, a Peace Corps volunteer woman said, you know, I think our biggest contribution is not the amazing things we're doing in education, but American women going independently into the most local places in Ethiopia, I mean, provincial schools. They're first viewed generally as prostitutes because they can't imagine women being able to do that on their own, choosing to go. But that passed very fast, according to our Peace Corps volunteers that I talked to. And I've come to the conclusion that maybe the most revolutionary thing that the Peace Corps has done in many a country has been the role model that the American Women Peace Corps volunteers gave. And my wife is gone. She would be amazed that I've come to that insight so late.
So a lot of people talk about the benefits that people who have participated in the service can bring in training new leaders and having leadership in the future. What do you think people who have participated in this kind of service can bring to Washington, and what in the future do you think they need to bring to Washington?
Well, I do believe that intense, well-organized service together. I'm for points of light, casual volunteering, unpaid volunteering, a day a week or an hour, 5 hours a week, or a habitat blitz. I'm all for that. But there's an intensity about 2 years in the same community, maybe with the freedom to change to another community if there are good reasons for it. There's an intensity of working together. Now, on terms similar to the terms of your counterpart in that country as best you can do it, under the direction of the institutions of the other country, it's a special relationship that's beyond being a student or a traveler or a missionary. They're all very valuable things, but it's a new kind of relationship, and it's a powerful kind of education. It led me, when starting a new college at State University of New York at Old Westbury, which is an opportunity I didn't do so well at, or we all sort of in the turbulence of those days, we tried to do an awful lot, but part of the curriculum we worked out was education in action, intensely on campus, on common seminars, etc., but also a semester of action. I had thought we would have a lot of those overseas because I had just come back from the Peace Corps, but the students at Old Westbury who were co-planners in 1966 and 7, they wanted to go to the inner city. So they did. And now a lot of things happen. I think it's a fantastic training program, but it's double-edged. It's dangerous. Haile Selassie in Ethiopia, I'm jumping back and going, I'm going to come back home in a minute. Haile Selassie, stirred by the Peace Corps, his president of the university, stirred by the Peace Corps, going to provincial schools in Ethiopia, proclaimed as head of the university, not as head of state, that to graduate from the Haile Selassie University, you had to do 1 year of rural service. And he said, if Peace Corps volunteers can come so far to teach in our provincial schools and work on health, the other project that we got into, our young people should do it too. And it radicalized. They did it. For how many years before the revolution? 6, 7, 8? I'm not sure. It radicalized those students. They saw poverty and bureaucracy that they had never, and injustice that shocked them from the cities. they participated in the revolution. They joined the militants in the army. The initial leader was a wonderful man, a moderate, decent. His daughter was at Bryn Mawr College. I had to wake her up in the night to tell her her father had been killed, the first head of the so-called DIRG. And General Lamon was one of the really wonderful people that I knew in Ethiopia. And the wild people in the DIRG just got up and shot the moderates, and dictator Mengistu reigned for years. And that's why I said public happiness can turn to public unhappiness when it doesn't work out. And I think one of the reasons I have such a unlimited desire to see the Barack administration succeed is that almost the most important foreign policy action that can happen is for Barack to succeed in America at large. He's already, however much we might laugh when he is thinking about more troops to Afghanistan and gets the Nobel Peace Prize. That's a fair laugh. But anyone who's been around the world much recently, I think, is telling you that the readiness of the world for a new approach of America is very great. And I think at home, our little old Westbury story, our students in the in East Harlem for living and working for a semester got very radicalized. And they had a perfectly reasonable proposal on which they had a sit-in, namely that they were willing for students to not insist on one vote per student in faculty appointments, but they wanted 50% of the votes on faculty appointments and tenure, right? and they had a few other rather bold propositions, and I got drawn to Bryn Mawr College, and a wonderful guy succeeded me, but in due course, it became more of a vocational school. There's some interesting writing on it. A lot of ideas we had, I'd still, in another life, like to see tried somewhere. But I guess the most profound thing, not probably in reality, but in my own head, out of my experience, is that somewhere along the line, mostly from a teacher named Scott Buchanan, who's one of the authors of the great books at St. John's College, The Dean and Shaping of It.
And an Amherst alum.
An Amherst graduate, and Alex Micklejohn was a major part of that movement and of the creation of St. John's College. Thank you. And Tony Marks invoked Alexander Micklejohn in his inaugural address here. Scott Buchanan said the best lens on balance over time to look at the world and what you're up to is the lens of comedy and tragedy, not pessimism and optimism or idealism and pragmatism, but comedy and tragedy. And then you'll be ready for everything if you can look at things both through a lens of comedy and of tragedy. Just something for you to think about. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, for coming.
Thank you.
$5.
Just have someone like offer the like place. Nice speech at the beginning though.
Karen would know.
feel like there's so many.
No water.
Of course.